Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. Y'all, we've got Kat Cantrell with us today.
Oh, Lori.
Hi, Kat.
Hi, beautiful.
Oh, so Kat is a colleague of mine. She is the founder of the Heart Agency, and she does not only traditional matchmaking, but she does coaching, and she's just filled with emotional intelligence and helps people with practical advice and empowering people, not just to find love, but also to rediscover their self-worth. And if you check her out on TikTok and on Instagram and all the socials, which I'll list down below, it's mainly at Kat Cantrell, you'll be able to kind of get her vibe. She's really down to earth. Welcome, Kat.
Oh, Lori, I'm so happy to be here with you.
What an honor.
I'm so glad you asked me to come on. So thank you so much for inviting
me. I'm so excited. And what we were talking about, okay, if anyone's watching us on our YouTube, we're twinsies today. We're both wearing these white button-down shirts, which
I got
out of my closet, and I don't know when.
Same.
And then we noticed that our nail colors.
I know.
Your nails up. Yep.
Nails. Yeah.
So we're twinsies. And when I started to catch up with her, we started talking about when we were in Cancun, because we're both part of the Matchmakers Alliance, which is a networking, collaborating arm for matchmakers. And every year we go to a special destination. We've been going to Cancun a bunch lately. Mm-hmm. And she saw me upset. I don't know what I was talking about whatsoever. We were at the lunch table. I was having a heartfelt conversation with someone, and I had my hand on my heart. Mm. And y'all, Kat like just walked around the table and she gave me this hug. And if you've never had a hug by Kat, you are missing out, because it felt so good. It was such a great hug. And it just made, and she just stood there and hugged me. I just needed to be held. And it was like such a special moment. And I think I had my hand on my heart because somebody was telling me something about their life that was really kind of affected my nervous system. So it just felt really good to have a Kat hug.
Aww,
and I can only imagine that that's how you are with your clients.
Yes. Yeah.
Heartfelt.
Hugs are, yeah. I mean, I think I even end my emails saying hugs to everybody. Because I think they say you're supposed to have like 7 a day. Mm-hmm. 7 hugs a day or something like that. And so, yeah, the work that I do with my clients, it's very emotional, right? And sometimes we just need that release of a hug and just kind of, so I love to greet people and to, you know, wish them, you know, send them on their way, always with a hug, always. With permission, of course, with permission.
And even with words, we can give hugs with words, but
physical
touch is so important. And I think as women, we touch each other all the time. We hug each other all the time, but men don't get physical touch except for usually the people that they're dating.
That's right.
You know? And so, anyone who's out there that is in a relationship or just newly dating, that physical touch piece, it doesn't have to be intimacy. That's not where we
know.
That's important, obviously.
Right. Right.
But just that physical touch. And I've heard that the hug needs to last at least 20 seconds.
Yes, I've heard that too.
So I'll like corner my husband in the kitchen, give him a hug, and he'll start to pull away. I'm like, no, it needs to be 20 seconds. And he'll be like, okay, Lori. Oh, and they'll just hang there limply while I hug on him. He knows what to expect. And when my sweet dog was still alive, Duke would jump up on us because he wanted to be part of the hug too. It was so sweet how animals want to be part of it all, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. My husband and I were huggers too. And we take the hug and we always turn it into a slow dance. So we do slow dancing in the kitchen.
I love that. All right. I'll, I'll take a note. Maybe.
Yes. Maybe do some slow dancing with your husband.
Over to my husband.
Yeah.
But it's so important. And I feel like people, when they get into long-term relationships, it's like people forget.
They do forget.
But they need Absolutely. To. It's like, you got to go back to the basics, go back to the beginning of your relationship and remember kind of what kindles the fire. So anyway, I have so much to talk to you about. So you're in, remind me where you're located.
I'm right smack dab in the middle of the Midwest. So I'm in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And what's unique about Cedar Rapids, I'm not originally from here. It's been quite the journey to get to here, but we're only 3 hours from Chicago. We're only 3 hours from Minneapolis. We're only like 4 hours from St. Louis. So we're really like centrally located here, in which you could just hop in your car and go to huge metropolitan cities, you know, within a couple of hours. So yeah.
Do you take on clients from other places or mainly just
where you are? I do. The matchmaking piece has started to expand outside of the state. So I just started that journey. But dating coaching, I've offered people internationally, and also image consulting. I started doing that as well for singles. So that's been international as well.
That's cool. So how do you do the image consulting?
So basically what it is, it's getting to know them first. So getting to know kind of their journey, their dating journey, what's been going on. Because one of the things that I realized is that some of these people, and I'm sure you see this in your business too, where it's like, they have been with a person for 25 years and have always had a mom wardrobe or a dad wardrobe, right? Absolutely. Or maybe they lost their spouse and their spouse dressed them for years. And so when they find themselves newly single, I mean, first impressions and how you show up to a date is so much a part of that equation of having, you know, a good, positive dating experience. And so a lot of these people don't even know where to begin. And one of the things that I realized is that this was something that I organically would just do with my clients. They would come into my office and I'd go, okay, we need to do some shopping. And so what I've learned is that not a lot of people find enjoyment in that. And so it's something that I've kind of started working with singles. So it's getting to know them, understanding really like, how are they dressing, you know, getting them date ready. So, because it's a certain wardrobe that you have to have to be date
Especially
ready.
Especially for photos for online dating.
Yes. Yes. In particular, for sure. So, So it's like getting them through the whole process. I have flown out to clients where I've completely cleaned out their closets, taken them shopping, giving them, you know, setting them on photo shoots. So it's getting them date ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so important for not just single people, for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
You walk into a room that you feel confident, that you feel sexy, that you feel beautiful, handsome, whatever the words are. And you really own yourself. And oftentimes it is about what you wear. And it doesn't matter if you're overweight or you're underweight.
Right.
If you feel good about the clothing that you're wearing, then you take on a whole new persona sometimes.
You do. Well, I think it's always inside of you. It's just, if you wear clothing that makes you feel fabulous, then you give yourself permission to be that fabulous.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's in you. It's in all of us.
It is.
It's just, we're so afraid to let it out. Or there's old stories or trauma or things that are holding us back. And sometimes you can just put on that one thing and it just makes you feel that much more of like your true self.
Yes.
And because people think that, you know, with image consulting, it's like a makeover in which you're trying to be something that you're not.
Yes.
And it's not. It's just giving you the tools and the permission to be able to dress yourself in a way that you deserve to be seen. And a lot of people are so afraid to do that. Like, oh, I'm too old to do that. Or I'm too overweight to do that. Or I'm too this to do that. And I'm like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
It's never, everybody, I mean, I feel like, you know, there's always those hesitators, right? That are like, I'm going to wait until I do this in order to do this. I'm going to wait in order, you know, I have to lose weight or I have to do this. And to me, if you can, one of the things I say about confidence, it's not fake it till you make it. It's practice it until you become it. And so if you're practicing by putting the clothes on that make you feel great and you're showing up in the world, yeah. it's going to catch up to you, and you're going to start yeah. really believing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Do you find that you, and I think this is particularly true with women, do you find that you meet women who have a negative self-image? They think, I'm too old to find love. I'm, you know, I'm not in the same body that I once was to receive love. I don't think anybody can love me because of the vessel that I'm in.
Yes.
What do you say to them?
So, you know, I think that I have found that there is truly someone for everyone. There is somebody mm-hmm. for everyone. And
totally.
When she's not feeling comfortable in her own skin,
mm-hmm.
usually it's tied to some type of story that she's hanging on to from some, you know, usually it's something that someone has said to her or some kind of negative self, because that negative self-talk
yeah.
doesn't come from us originally. It comes from some kind of outside source, right? It could even come from our own mothers growing up, right? And this, the constant diet culture and everything that we have been exposed to, and it's getting better, obviously. But, you know, I tell her that if she is truly feeling super uncomfortable in her own skin, then I ask her, okay, let's sit down and talk about what are those stories that you're telling yourself. And so if the story that she's telling herself is that I'm too overweight, or I liked it when I was much thinner, then I would say to her, well, what makes you say that you're overweight? And we kind of just go back to what that source is. And usually it's something that someone has told her that she has taken on as her own identity
yeah.
and has taken ownership of it. And it's helping her re-look at herself, owning her, you know, owning this beautiful body, embracing everything that body has done for you. I mean, thank goodness now you're 55 years old and you've lived this great life and you have these kids or you have this house or this job or these things that you've been aspiring and working towards. You should celebrate the fact that you're here and your body is here carrying you around and doing the things that you love to do. And I think it's just really helping them rewrite that script, because a lot of the times they don't know where it's coming from. And when they realize it, and then I always go, are you going to allow that person to have that much control over your life, or are you going to take ownership?
I love that.
Yeah.
I will even meet young women in their 20s and 30s.
Oh, yes.
Of their beauty. I mean, actually, peak, that's not even fair. Forget I even just said that. Who are gorgeous and
yes,
they don't know it, or they can't own it, or they can only look at the one part of themselves that they're not happy with. And that's the only thing that they see.
So a trick that I tell women is, you know, there is to pick your favorite body part. So not talk about the things that you don't like. Let's talk about the things that you do like, right? So if she doesn't even know where to begin, let's start with your body, but I want you to pick a favorite body part that's from your neck to your knees. And the reason why I say that is because when we complain as women and we complain about our body, we complain usually about the areas that are between our neck and our knees. We don't complain usually about our hair. I mean, sometimes we do. We don't complain about our ankles or our feet or our hands or elbows, right? We really complain the parts that we don't like about ourselves are in this area. So I force women to go, okay, let's pick a favorite part. And then with that favorite part, so let's just say she loves her bust. Okay. I'm like, fantastic. We're going to start there. So let's start with your bust and let's accentuate it in a way that you're comfortable, of course. Mm-hmm. And let's find a couple of articles of clothing that will make you feel great because you're going to accentuate the part of the body that you love. And sometimes it just takes that little tweak to start.
That's beautiful. And then men, let's not forget about men. I mean, they.
Yeah.
Well, I'll meet men that are upset that they're having some hair loss. They're really self-conscious of the hair loss.
Yes, I know.
In a big way. And meanwhile, it is a rare day that somebody walks into my office and says, I don't want a man who's lost his hair. Like, I hear it so randomly and it's like, it's not even a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. Women don't care. Men don't care. Don't. You know, men dating men don't care either. I mean, it's just, it's like this old idea from the olden days that men that don't have hair aren't attractive.
Right.
I mean,
I don't hear it very, the only time I hear it is if somebody hasn't dated in a really long time and they're out there in the dating pool and they go, wow, a lot of these men don't have their hair. And I'm like, well, yeah, you haven't dated in 30 years. So,
exactly. When the women, it's always so hard is when people get out there like later in life and they're like back there dating and they're looking around. They're like, okay, people don't look the same way they used to when I was in my 20s looking. It can be tricky and they have these ideas. I talked to a man recently that was older, you know, and he was telling me how he was very attracted to women that were 25, 30 years younger. And I said, I get it. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
I would too, if I was in your position. However, let's look at some age appropriate women that are, you know, in within, you know, 8 to 10 years of your range. I mean, we can go there. We could do a 10-year younger kind of situation.
Yeah.
Or how about somebody that's within 5 years that is fit and fabulous and everything that you're looking for, that wants to travel and go and see and do with you, who you can really relate to. He wrapped his head around it, but it was fun. It was a fun conversation too, just to know that no matter what your age is, people are, they're still attracted to youth and youthfulness and energy and excitement and people that are learning and growing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you can tap into that youthful energy at no matter what age you are attractive.
Yes.
You know, you're just exuding it. It's, and I mean, I've met 30-year-olds that have an older vibe, an older feel, like a worn downness to them.
Yes.
And then older folks that are just zippy and ready to go and just excited about learning. And I think that intellectual curiosity is really what gets people excited about life.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to gravitate towards that.
They
do. Always learning and growing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and even I found that sometimes even the most curviest, voluptuous women that have the most confidence just attract, like they have no problems at all, you know, finding potential mates because partners, because of that confidence piece, that energy piece that you're talking about. Like if you're not happy within yourself or feeling good about yourself, then, you know, like attracts like, obviously.
Yeah.
And if you're putting out positive energy and you think the best of people and you are excited about living and your life, people are going to naturally gravitate to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, I talk about all the time. I'm like, are you a green light or are you a red light? Which light are you? You know, are you conducting your life to where it's like green, go, yes, positive? Or is it constantly red where you're like putting up walls, making excuses, you know, those types of things, like to really be conscious of what type of energy you are putting out. So good point. I love that.
Agree. And I know I was checking out your TikTok. I'm sure all of this is on your Instagram too. Three things that people say that block them from love. And the first thing you said is my children are my life. Let's talk about that a little bit. So when do they use that? I see it a lot with online dating.
Online dating is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Online dating.
It's like, obviously.
Yes.
Children are your life.
Yes.
And but what's the downside to saying that?
I think that because, you know, it's an, I just did an online dating workshop last night in person here.
Okay.
And the women were kind of pushing back on that. And I said, you know, it's your job to paint a picture of what it's like to date you, right?
Yep.
So you as the woman or the man, right? Not your kids or your grandkids or, you know, I'm Papa or I'm Gigi. Like nobody wants to date a Papa or a Gigi. Like you don't, I mean.
You're not taking Gigi to the, well, maybe you're taking Gigi to the bedroom, but Papa.
But yeah, right.
No thanks, I mean, Papa.
It's not, I mean, we're still, I mean, it's, we're still animals and humans and it's our job to like do the things to be attractive. And what I mean by that is, what is it like to date you? And yeah. Yes, if you have children, of course they're your life. If you have grandchildren, of course you love them.
Right.
But I don't want to date them.
No.
I want to date you.
Right. And you know, I pose the question to you. Obviously, I know the answer too.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear your take on it. Obviously, we agree.
Yeah.
And the thing is that people, I've actually had people say to me, I don't want, like this one guy said to me, I don't want to date a woman who she's only about the grandchildren.
Yes. Like, I've had the same conversation. You know, yes.
Right. He wants to feel important.
Exactly.
He wants to be number one, even if he's really not number one, he's number two or number five or whatever. He wants to feel important and he needs to feel like there's a space for him in her life.
Yes.
And if it is already filled with all those grandchildren or all the things, then where in her life is he going to fit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's yes. I completely 100% agree because people read that as if there's no room.
Great. Okay. And then looking for friends first is another item that you said.
Yes.
I see that a lot with online dating.
Yeah. That, or let's see where it goes, or take it day by day, those types of sayings. And, you know, to me, it's obvious you're going to become friends first. I mean, you're getting to know one another and you want to make sure that you're friends first. You want to make sure that this is a person that, that you're excited to see, that you want to hang out with, you want to talk things with. And so, yes, of course you want to be friends first, but I feel like when people state that, to me, it's code for that they're really not looking for anything serious and that they are, you know, they're really not looking, their goal is not long-term relationship, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine. There's a lot of that out there and there's people that are just looking for one thing and that's completely fine.
Yeah.
But when someone says that they're looking for friends first, to me, it's obvious. And it doesn't show to me, it says that they're not looking for a long-term relationship and that they're heavily guarded, right?
Mm-hmm. So
if there's a lot, it's to me, looking for friends first says I have a lot of walls that are up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm letting you know that basically.
Yeah.
So take it or leave it kind of thing. And I think that I find this more than women than men. And maybe you find this too, is that women are like, well, I'll be the one that'll change that. I'll be the one that'll shift his mind.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the long-term relationship.
The big change agent. And on Hinge, one of the things that people can click off is if, with what they're looking for, it says short term leading to long term. And that kind of feels like what we're talking about here too.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like somebody who's ready to get married and have babies if they're in that age bracket.
No.
So when I'm coaching my women online, I'm like, yeah, I think I would pass on that one.
Same.
Like, I want it just to be somebody who's ready for a relationship and marriage.
Isn't there, which app is it that says there's an option there that says just looking? Have you seen that?
I have seen
it. Is that on Hinge too?
I think.
Or is that Match?
I don't know. They've
it's
all
there
changed
too.
It so much. I mainly use Bumble. And honestly, I'm fine with it when they say that they're just on here just to have fun or whatever the response is, because good, pass. I mean, although honestly, I've had clients before that are like, Lori, I just want to date. I want to get back out there.
Yep.
You know, maybe they're very recently divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, it is hilarious. Those are the people that get it right into a relationship. When they just have that attitude of whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'll see what happens. They're not like attached to the outcome.
Right.
So
and they're not hanging on to dear life. Right. They're not. And the way that I always explain it is like, it's almost like a chokehold. Like if you hold something so tight, there's no air that can breathe with that versus just letting go and just allowing things to develop and to grow. Then that's when all of the connection happens. It can't be forced. Yeah.
And then the last thing that you said on that particular reel was, I'm an independent woman, as a way of that sometimes blocks people from love. Tell me what your take on that is.
I think that what I find is that when women state that they're an independent woman, it's again, it's a given. If you're alone, you know, living your life, you have a job, you have bills to pay, you know, you're an independent woman. And I feel like when women say that again, and I've heard this, and the reason why that became one of my things where I'm like, don't do this, is because I've had men say the opposite. Or, you know, when I've had those post-date interviews with my clients, I've had the men go, yeah, she just sat there and kept telling me how independent she was. And I was thinking, well, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Why do you need me?
Right. Why do you need me?
Yeah.
Why do I
feel needed?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And especially, you know, if you're saying about how you don't need anybody and that you're independent, you're taking care of yourself, it does. I mean, the other person does not feel seen at all. And they walk away going, well, I guess she doesn't need me. So moving on. And that's why I tell I tell women all together, stop saying that, even though it's true, but you don't need to, it doesn't need to be a description of who you are. It does not need to be an identity.
Yeah.
For you. Yeah.
The other reel that I loved that you did were red flags on a first date. This is a good one. You said when somebody says to you, oh, come on, I'm just teasing you, or it's just a joke, when they're insulting you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people out there know what we're talking about. And it could even be a friend or a family member or anyone, not even just set dating aside.
Yeah.
When somebody says that to you, there's that underbelly of mean and
bullying
and gaslighting and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you recommend people handle something like that?
To me, it's something where it's just to pay attention to, right? And so it's a reflection upon if you're on a first date, it's our job to make sure that we are setting a great first impression.
Yeah.
And that's head to toe. And that's with the words that you speak, your body language, how you dress, right? Yeah. And so if you're going to put down the person that's across the table from you, or if somebody's going to put you down, right?
Yeah.
To me, that is foreshadowing. It's not that you need to do anything about it in that moment necessarily, because I think sometimes people get shocked by those comments. Mm-hmm. Like all the time when people walk away and go, man, I wish I would have said this. And to me, you don't have to necessarily take that as, you don't have to take that confrontation on, because it is confrontational. I feel like if somebody's putting you down in that way and they're like, oh, I'm just joking, you just note to self, okay, well, this is not a good fit, because the first couple of dates, if we're getting to know each other and you're saying these types of things to me, it's, you know, you should just go ahead and just call it a day. It's not much.
People will do it too with online dating. They'll make a little comment. Sometimes they'll do something way overboard with sexual innuendo. And then they'll be like, I was just joking. And they'll kind of pull away. It's like, you weren't joking, dude. You were fishing. You were seeing if somebody will take the bait.
Yes.
Just block them.
Have to say, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Like that in itself, just saying that alone, if you are saying that, you shouldn't have said the thing that you said. That's it.
You weren't joking. It was a real thing.
That's right.
And then the other thing, two things that you said were, number one is when somebody says something like, I hate being single.
Yeah.
Or they're just like really super negative about the kind of place where they're at in life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to attach themselves to that.
Mm-mm. And you want someone. Exactly. You want to be with somebody who's happy enough with their life.
Yeah. It's exciting to be with somebody that's
excited
about their life.
And you don't want to be somebody's everything either. Can you ha-ha? Okay. Yeah. Being single is so hard. I mean, both of you can kind of laugh about it, but for somebody to talk about how terrible it is and all their terrible dates and how hard it is and how they hate it.
Yeah. Hate the apps. Nobody's good on there.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Again, red light. That's a red light. Yeah. Not a green light. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally true. And then self-deprecating kind of falls in line a little bit, just kind of putting yourself down. Mm-hmm. You're not good. I'm not good enough for you.
Right.
Oh, you go to Aspen or you do that. Wow. You know, I'd never be able to afford that. Whatever the comments are.
Yes.
Right. We've heard that before.
Yes. And it's a reflection upon their own self-esteem and their own self-worth and those types of people. It can lead to jealousy and to issues within the relationship. And so it's, even though I know that some people, I was talking about that last night, and a woman, like, it's like she, her eyes got like this big.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my gosh, I do that all the time. And I go, yeah, you need to stop. You got to stop right now. Don't do that anymore. Yeah.
Right. But you know what? Knowledge is so powerful.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, maybe this will help somebody, this one conversation that we're having, and somebody will just sort of fine tune one thing. And then the next date they go on, it feels different.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, when you put yourself down, you're lowering your energetic vibration.
Yes.
It's not going to be able to attract somebody in that's a higher vibration, which is what you're really looking for.
Right.
People want to, you know, they want to meet somebody that's going to enhance their lives. Somebody who has things going on that's exciting and different and interesting and dynamic. That's what we're all attracted to. Something new, something where we're going to learn, I think, most people.
Yes.
And if they're not, then I guess they'll just attract in somebody that's a low vibration and they'll be happy. But I know that the people that normally hire matchmakers, like, they're just really kind of really looking forward to enhancing their lives in some way, in a different way than how they're living.
Yes.
So I always say, like, do the work, do the inner work, see the therapist, do the work, hit the gym, do the things that make your body inside and out feel good, your brain feel good. Start figuring out, how do I love myself? And can I find someone that loves me as much as I love myself?
Yes.
You receive the amount of love that you give yourself.
Right.
It's like, not, you can't overflow it.
Right.
There's like a cap on it. So I think it's really important to be able to understand that, and don't start your dating journey or push a pause button on it if you're feeling negative, because that is all you'll attract.
Right. And I think you said something, which is, and maybe you hear this in your practice, that, and I think I did create it like a TikTok. Oh, I think that was part of that same TikTok, which is, take it or leave it. This is just the way I am. Like, if you can't take me at my worst, then you can't take me at my best, you know? And I think people have lost the idea of what dating is all about. Like, in order to somebody to be like, okay, I'm willing to compromise, when you have these weaknesses and you are in the lowest of lows, you owe it to yourself to make sure that you are presenting all of the best of yourself, of someone, first, so that they can connect you on that high vibration. So that when, you know, things surface where you're like, oh wow, I didn't realize that she had, or he had this or that. But you've got to know them, and you see them in this beautiful light, and you've really gotten to see what their true essence is as a person, that when you see that they have these flaws or these weaknesses, you can go, that's worth it. It's totally worth it to me. Because if it's not, if you start with all of the weaknesses and all the ickiness first, you cannot, you cannot connect. You cannot connect on that vibration. You can't.
You can,
but it's toxic.
Mm-hmm. It's so toxic. And who wants to live a life like that?
No, thank you.
Thanks. More work that you do on yourself before getting into a relationship, the better your relationship is going to be.
Right.
And if you're in a relationship and you're not happy, start doing some work.
Yes.
Start reading, start talking, start exploring, start meditating, start writing down a gratitude list, even when you don't want to, even when you're like, I got to write 10 things down this morning when I'm doing my meditation and my gratitude list. Just do it, because it's like the brain will follow the actions.
Yes.
Like, we're not controlled by our brain. A great book out there, you probably read this one, is The Untethered Soul.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you can listen to it. Like, that's a good one to listen to when you're driving or whatever. And it's all about how, you know, our brain and our spirit are two different entities within ourselves. And our brain is always trying to figure out a problem. So it's kind of like, when the toilet bowl just keeps flushing, keeps swirling, when our brain can't figure out a problem, it's not going to stop trying to figure it out, but also doesn't have the answers.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you find the answers is by doing the soul work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's trying to really dig deep into your spirit and just trying to figure out, like, what is it that you really need? What is it that you really want? What's going on inside? What is hurting you? How do you release it? Mm-hmm. How do you not get stuck in resentment? You know, how do you try to handle the conflicts without, you know, really without your brain trying to find a solution? I don't know if that's making sense the way I'm saying it, but
yeah,
it's
totally
really good because, you know, when you're obsessively thinking about something, it can get very ingrained in your whole body and it can make you sick. You know, that is really how we get sick, is all of this stuff that's going on in our brain and the grief that happens as a result of, you know, trauma.
Yeah.
And so when we obsess over someone because, you know, they broke up with us, or we can't stop thinking about someone that we are in love with, but they're not in love with us, or we're not receiving the kind of love that we want from our partner, and we're trying to figure it out, we can't until we do some of that deep inner work. So just, it's a great book to check out, and encourage people listening to check it out as well. This has been great. I could talk to you all day long.
I feel like I can talk to you all day long too.
Bring you back on. And the next time we're in Mexico, we're doing that walk down the beach.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. And I should have you on my podcast.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'm game.
Okay, good.
So the audience here can listen to us again talking.
That's right. Podcast. Yeah, I would love that.
What's the name of your podcast?
Dear Matchmaker.
Love that. Yeah. So all of your socials will be in the show notes, but essentially it's at Kat, C-A-T, Cantrill, C-A-N-T-R-I-L-L on Instagram, on TikTok. And her website's theheartagency.com and also dressforlove.com. So that's where you can check out the styling. It has been a pleasure to have you, Miss Kat.
Thank you, Lori. Yes, so wonderful to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.